And again, I want to welcome everybody, Carolina Bible Group, Bible Study Voice Room. We will be moving forward in our study today, in our study of blood. And in my mind, nothing trumps the blood of Christ. There's nothing that you can do that it can't cover. There's nothing that you can do for yourself that it hasn't already bought for you as believers. There's no power that you have in yourself aside from that blood other than the power to live the life on this earth and just die. Outside of that blood, you are totally dependent upon yourself, and we're in that realm, we're pretty powerless. So, in my mind, there is no, there's very few subjects, if any, in the scripture that trump, the importance of blood. So our purpose in all this is to grow in our knowledge and understanding of blood through God's mention and usage of it throughout the scripture. So we're going to be continuing again today with our ongoing study of blood as it appears in God's word. And what I've been doing so far is we've started at the start and we're going to go through, and I'm going to try to cover most every verse in the scripture, and there are over 300 of them that use the word, have the word blood in it, and we'll try to go over that. And I'm a hard believer that that's one of the best ways to figure out for ourselves what these different words mean and how the different words are used in the scripture. Let me get this done. Okay. So for our last study, we reviewed the 10th and final plague on Egypt. And hopefully you were with us last week and were able to hear the study of the 10th and final of the plagues that God brought down upon the Egyptians with regards to letting the people of Israel go. And of course it was the death angel and the killing of all the firstborn of Egypt. And I got a note here, only the properly applied blood. And remember, it wasn't just the blood itself of a spotless lamb or a spotless goat, but only the properly applied blood could protect those inside the house. You had to strike it in not one, not two, but in amazingly three places. You had to have it on both of the side posts of the door, and you had to strike it on the upper post, the lintel of the doors that went across. Three places you had to apply the blood, and that alone would stay the curse of the death angel as it come through to smite all the firstborn. What a wonderful picture or shadow of the blood of Christ. I can't even read the story without losing it. That one just breaks me up. Seems like every single time when the angel says, when I see the blood. Seeing the blood is what God does when he looks at us. And I don't know of a more perfect, beautiful picture of God's reverence for the blood of Christ than there is in Exodus chapter 12. So for today's study, we're going to continue in our study of blood. And I've written that after the deliverance of the Israelites from the Egyptians, God speaks to Moses on Mount Sinai inside of the people. Now you got to get the picture in your mind of this mountain covered with smoke, the lightnings, the thunderings, the noise from heaven. All this in the sight of all of Israel, and God is going to speak to Moses and Aaron, and then they will take the word of God to the people. God even gave them a warning that you can't have any of the people push through to the mountain lest they die. So God is going to give his statutes to Moses and the people, and that begins in Exodus chapter 20. And you will famously see at the beginning of chapter 20 when God opens his mouth and begins to speak to Moses, the words to carry to the people As we all know, the Ten Commandments are uttered there in Exodus chapter 20. And you're going to see the statutes of God continue from 20, and they run all the way through the end of chapter 23. So turn with me this morning, if you would. We're not going to read all of them. I think everybody's fairly familiar, and it's not just those Ten Commandments that God hands down there in these chapters in Exodus. But there are a lot of other day-to-day dealings and statutes and laws that God gives them regarding just daily life and daily interacting with each other and what's acceptable and what is not acceptable. And you get a lot of that in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, of course. So turn with me to Exodus 22. Let's read we'll read verses 1 through 3. And then we're going to go back and look at verses 2 and 3 in particular, because that's where our word blood occurs. It says in Exodus 22:1, if a man shall steal an ox. Now see, this is a continuation from when God hands down the main, the Ten Commandments there at the beginning of chapter 20. And these are the continuation of some of the statutes that God is giving down to Moses. He said, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep, this is in, of course, reference to theft or stealing. If a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it or sell it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. That seems simple enough, right? That if a man steals another man's ox or his sheep, and he either sells it or butchers it, kills it, then when he's caught, he has to restore unto the one that he took it from either 5-fold or 4-fold, depending on what it was he took. Simple enough, right? Verse 2. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. Now, let's read 3, and then we'll go back and we'll dissect that verse down a little bit. And then verse 3 says, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him, for he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. And then let's read verse 4 just to close it off. If the theft be certainly found in his hand alive, whether it be ox or ass or sheep, he shall restore double. So let's go back and kind of look at what we just covered, and notably verses 2 and 3 where the blood is mentioned. Verse 2 said, if a thief be found, and the term there in the Hebrew, I think it's marat, or a word closely akin to that. Let me look at this, see if I still have that up. Yeah. And I do. The word matzah. The word be found there is the Hebrew word matzah. And it means, it literally means caught in the act of. If a thief be caught in the act of breaking up. And the term breaking up there is the Hebrew maktareth, and it means a burglary, literally a theft in progress or a burglary. So if a thief be caught in the act of burglary is basically what be found breaking up means. And be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood be shed for him. Now, you remember what God said back in Genesis chapter 9. Let me read that for you right quick. Genesis 9 says this. 5 and 6. It says, and surely your blood of your lives will I require. At the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man. At the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. So you see there that God required, as we talked about earlier, blood for blood. That was the rule. He said, but if a thief be found breaking up or be caught literally in the act of theft and be smitten that he die, there shall no blood be shed for him. In this case, blood for blood is not required. And I thought that was interesting. You see how God sets forth the rules and the statutes. Hello, girls. And God can alter or modify the rules and statutes as they fit according to his plan and purpose. So, hey, baby. Thank you. I'm getting my hugs here, my Sunday morning hugs. Hey, baby. So, note that here there's no blood required for this situation. In reference to Genesis 9, 5 through 6. And I thought that was interesting. Then it says in verse 3, if the sun be risen upon him. So it says a little different situation now. You remember the situation in verse 2, if he's caught in the act, if he's seen doing it or caught in the act of doing it, and he's killed, then there's not going to be any bloodshed for him. But verse 3, and I believe the first part of verse 3 actually goes with verse 2. Look at the note in verse 3 in the Companion Bible where it says, if the sun be risen upon him. And it says, therefore killed after he had got away and in cold blood. See, if the theft occurs and the guy gets away, and then the owner finds him and kills him. See, that's a different story because he doesn't necessarily, he didn't catch him red-handed in the act. So, you know, there's a different procedure if there has been time elapsed. And I got to think about this. My God, you know, the wisdom of God is beyond our understanding and reproach. And it's no wonder that a lot of our rules and laws and statutes that we go by even today come down from the statutes that God gave the children of Israel. It's no wonder, because the wisdom of God is amazing. It's just beyond, it's beyond reproach. It's beyond, in a lot of cases, it's totally beyond our understanding.
Well, you know, if he's done after he's left, then there's always the chance that you've got the wrong.
Exactly, and that's why God says, now wait a minute, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. So now the blood's going to be required, because his dad says you could have the wrong guy. You've still got to prove out that it was the one that actually did the crime. For he should make full restitution. The rule is that if he's caught, then he makes full restitution. You know, there's two sides of the thing. One is if you catch him and kill him. The other one is if you just catch him. And if you just catch him, he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If he doesn't have any property with which to make the restitution, then guess what? He becomes an indentured servant or a slave. He can literally be sold as merchandise for his theft. So you see, in God's economy, in the rules and the statutes that God laid down and gave to the nation of Israel, I don't think they had a lot of crime. Because in a lot of cases, the penalty for a lot of these things is death.
It still is in some countries.
And Steph correctly pointed out that in a lot of countries today, it still is, especially Middle Eastern countries. And the Asians have picked up on that as well. So I just thought these were interesting. A couple of very interesting verses to go over here as far as the usage of blood in there. It said, if the sun be risen upon him, there shall be blood shed for him. And I believe that is in reference to the statement that was already made in verse 2. For he should make full restitution. If he have nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. And it goes on down in verse 5, if a man shall cause a field or a vineyard to be eaten, if you had livestock and it got into somebody else's property and eat the wheat of your field or whatever, there's rules for that. Just all kind of day-to-day common sense living rules to go by that God was giving Moses to give to the people. Because that's what God, it's what God expected out of his chosen people. So turn with me for one more. Over to Exodus chapter 23. And I just want to read you a few of these. The verse I'm interested in is in verse 18. But I want to read, let's read 1 through 18 just to get down to that. Because I want you to see some of these rules that God had put forth for his people. It says in 23:1, thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You can't lie. You can't lie to be a witness or say, yeah, that's what happened. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. You don't gang up and go do the wrong thing. Boys, these kind of interested me as I was, don't mob up and go rioting is basically what verse 2 says. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to arrest judgment. Verse 3, neither shalt thou countenance a poor man in this cause. Verse 4, if thou meet thine enemy's ox. Now listen to this. This is talking about somebody that's your enemy. If thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass going astray, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again, even if he's your enemy. What about that? The girls are looking at me kind of like, well, that's kind of different. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, and wouldest forbear to help him, thou shalt surely help with him. If the man's ass is overloaded.
Donkey.
If it's overloaded, you got to go help with it. Thou shalt not rest the judgment of thy poor in this cause. Verse 7. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked, God says. Thou shalt take no gift, verse 8, for the gift blindeth the wise and perverteth the words of the righteous. Now that one was interesting, I thought. Thou shalt take no gift. Interesting. And I think the pretense of it is, usually somebody gives you a gift, means that they think you're beholding to them.
It kind of goes like a bribe.
Verse 9, and also, thou shalt not oppress a stranger. For ye know the heart of a stranger, seeing ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Mm-hmm. God says, you know how it is to be a stranger in a strange land. So you will not oppress any strangers. In 6 years thou shalt sow thy land and shalt gather in the fruits thereof. But the seventh year, you can sow and gather for 6 years. But the seventh year, thou shalt let it rest and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beast of the fields can eat. So the people went first, the poor went first, gleaning of the fields, and then the beast came after the people. In like manner thou shalt deal with the vineyard and with thy olive yard, not only in the fields where you grow grain, but vineyards and olive groves. Same thing. 6 days thou shalt do no work. 6 days thou shalt do thy work. And on the seventh day thou shalt rest, that thine ox and thine ass may rest, and the son of thy handmaid and the stranger may be refreshed. Remember, God set this one forth way back in the book of Genesis. And in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect. You know, be upright. Be honest. And make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of thy mouth. Three times thou shalt keep a feast unto me in the year. Now he's going to talk about the feast. Thou shalt keep the feast of unleavened bread. Thou shalt eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded thee in the time appointed of the month, Abib. For in it thou camest out from Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. So those are the three feasts that they were appointed to keep. Now you will see these feasts mentioned all through the scripture as we deal with the nation of Israel. You'll constantly see these feasts mentioned. And that's one good means of dating. Dating, you know, certain times when things happen. Because you know if it's a certain feast and that certain feast takes place in a certain month, then you can figure when they were doing it.
Like the harvest, where they wave the sheaf.
The first fruits, yeah.
They got to have the sheaf to wave it.
Yeah, you can't wave it if you don't have it. Exactly. Verse 17, three times in the year all thy male shall appear before the Lord God. And then verse 18, this is our verse. Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. And offer there, the word there means literally to slay and pour out. Thou shalt not slay and pour out the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. So, you know, during any of these feasts and the sacrifices, you don't use leavened bread. Neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning. And that last, in verse 18 there, that last word sacrifice should be feast. So it should read, neither shall the fat of my feast remain until the morning.
That's the burnt off.
The Passover, you know, like he told them in the Passover, don't let this, you know, don't let this sit here. You got to burn it in the fire. And so that covers three more of our verses in the scripture that have the word blood in it and cover the word blood. So in essence of time, we will stop there for today. Yes, it was pretty short and pretty sweet. I hope, however, you were blessed in what we read. It always does me good to learn even a small amount about the scriptures I go through, and I love going back and looking at these things and checking out these words.